Hey, that's a heck of a win, man. At home on Monday night after about 10 days off, man. Where you going? All right, what we talk about, right? What's the advantage? The team, right? That's the advantage. The team, the team, the team. I saw it tonight, man. I saw it with my own eyes right from the start. All three phases working together as one, man, right? Humility goes a long way right now.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Due respect to the Bills, the Commanders have scored on every drive in two straight games.
Yeah.
Which is pretty wild.
And there was just a stat on them. Washington, the first team in the Super Bowl era to have back-to-back games with zero turnovers and zero punts.
Good for them. Monday night doubleheader.
So it's working there.
Bills win, Bengals lose. Sal Capaccio joins us on the Western Hotline on a Victory Tuesday. Victory Tuesday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. We'll talk with Sal, take your calls. We'll talk with Chris Brown next segment. Sal, I mean, you've been around for a lot of party games. That was a party.
Huh. Reminded me a lot of the Patriots playoff game. It just was, everything went right. They couldn't be stopped, and the other team couldn't do anything against them. And it just was, you're right, a party. It was a party inside the stadium. It was all night from the get-go. Right after they converted the 4th-and-3, and then they score shortly after that, you're like, okay. And, you know, once you stop them on that next drive, okay, things are going right here, and then it just starts snowballing from there. But you're right, guys. It was what a great atmosphere last night. What a great time to be inside that stadium.
Bills do it on offense and on defense. Do you have a spot you want to start on, Sal? I mean, to me, you know, I mean, you're seeing a Joe Brady offense that three games in looks like it has a lot of answers. And let's be real about last night's game. You know, the one type of game they hadn't really played yet is a very pass-heavy script. And last night they did that. The matchup against Jacksonville, they like well enough. Allen finds a bunch of different receivers. They drop back, and they really go for the kill early in that game. It was reminiscent of the way the Bills played a couple years ago with Josh Allen, and he was on point. Everything they tried worked, and it was nice to see.
Yeah, so you guys know all week I've been saying, like, this is a very man-to-man heavy team, and if you're going to stay a man-to-man, Josh Allen can kill you with his legs, and he's going to find matchups. But that becomes a Joe Brady game. If it's a man-to-man, Joe Brady's got to find matchups, and he did. I mean, think about the first play of the game to James Cook. I mean, right away, bam, there's the matchup we like. I mean, he told you on that first play that they're going to figure out where the matchup is, and they've already prepared for knowing where the matchup is that they're going to attack and exploit. And that's what they did all night, 10 different receivers once again. And then sure enough, as soon as there's an opportunity for, hey, let's spread them out, and as soon as those backs are turned, Josh Allen takes off up the middle on a couple of design draw plays. There's just nothing you can do to stop it. And, I mean, we were debating on the broadcast even, like, do the Jags just go away from man-to-man? That's what they do. Eric was saying, like, how can you stay in it? And I agree. But I don't know if they could do anything different. That's what they do. It was the perfect recipe for how the Bills want to play. You're right. And I do think last night answered a lot of questions about the wide receivers being able to win in that situation. It's not necessarily getting separation down the field, although they did. Mm-hmm. Keon Coleman got separation down the field. Dalton Kincaid, that was a big one, obviously, when he had his corner route. Like, they have some guys who can do that, but it's about getting separation across the field as well, guys. It's about, you know, the field is not just 100 yards long. It's 53 1/3 yards wide. And if you're going to go man-to-man against the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen's a very smart quarterback, and they have very smart receivers and, what we're finding out, a very smart offensive coordinator to be able to figure out how to get those matchups.
And to me, Sal, like the yards after catch point, this team has been talking about it for basically 3 years, and Joe Brady has finally delivered it for them.
No doubt about it. You're right. I mean, they did not go over the top much last night. They did a couple of times. I mean, the one time they should have had the touchdown to James Cook, right? I mean, he should have caught that. That was a deep ball. That was a great pass. It was a great design. But guess what? They come right back and they score a touchdown. Anyway, I think that was the drive where Keon Coleman scored, if I remember correctly. But either way, maybe it was Khalil Shakir, actually. But you're right. They get the ball into the hands of receivers. You know, one thing that's like maybe Josh hasn't been great at in his career is giving those guys an opportunity to run after the catch because he's been such a downfield thrower. And because the design of the offense was, you know, more mid-range, deep, these guys come back to the ball, they catch it, they get out of bounds, they go down. It just hasn't lent itself to that. Well, now we're seeing the evolution of Josh Allen in that regard too, which is, all right, he's going to put it on a spot where it allows them to run. The stat I gave you yesterday, let's update that for a second, okay? Average yards after catch amongst all quarterbacks in the NFL. Josh Allen, number two behind only Tua. 8.93 for Tua, 7.24 for Josh Allen. That is number two in the league. So that is, of all the completions you make, the average yards after catch after those completions, Josh Allen, number two in the NFL.
We had the numbers on Shakir basically doubling what Cole Beasley's yards after catch used to be. That's part system, but also part that Shakir, I mean, Sal, it's not just that he's efficient now. It's not just that he gets open. It's that he's added a toughness. He's added a determination to his game that brings these yak plays.
It's a great point, no doubt about it. I mean, 14 targets, 14 catches, and how many of those are catches where he gets absolutely demolished after the play and he just gets right back up, or he fights for extra yards, right? I mean, he's doing a lot of the grunt work, a lot of the dirty work, and yet he's still coming up and making all these different plays. It's so funny, like, he's not a... If I said you know, who's the number one receiver, you don't think of him like that. But he has been. He is their number one receiver. He's the guy that Josh looks for the most. He's the guy that's been the most reliable, although they've all been pretty reliable. But he doesn't have the profile of a true number one receiver. So I don't know if you could put him in that category of what we traditionally think of a number one receiver. But that's what he is for the Buffalo Bills right now. He's their go-to guy. But even when that's not necessarily going, you don't have to give him 14 targets. He had 6 targets last night, and that was just fine because everybody else got involved. Everybody else ate, as they say, guys. It was just a spectacular night, and I know you said, where do you want to start? We're with the offense, but listen, Josh Allen is just so special. He played like the league MVP last night. That's what he did. He was the league MVP last night. He may be playing better football than anybody in the NFL right now. I think there's an absolute argument for that. He should be the league leader for MVP right now. I don't know what the odds are this morning. A couple of those plays, guys, I mean, the throw to Dalton Kincaid and then Dalton's catch, just amazing. But I want to talk about the one to Ty Johnson. It was right in front of me. People were sending me screenshots last night from the TV broadcast. Literally, I'm not kidding. My jaw was down. I was open going, oh my God, when he caught it. And they're like, oh my, like, look at you. Your jaw was dropped. I said, it was. I went up to Josh in the locker room. I said, Josh, like, you made my jaw drop on that throw. I can't believe it. You know, and he looked at me and he goes, yeah, I was feeling good on that one. Like, he just, like, kind of so just nonchalant, right? I'm like, yeah, I bet you were. Guys, I don't know how he fit that ball in that spot. It was unbelievable. He's running left and fading backward, basically.
It's almost like when he gets hot, it's like I'm thinking of like a jump, like a Steph Curry in the NBA. When he's hitting threes, that's when he decides, you know what?
Yes.
I think I could pull it from half court here. It almost feels like Allen's got a little of that, where if everything's working on the first few drives or in the first quarter or two, you might get him going, you know, I might be able to pull this one off just because I'm feeling it.
No doubt about it. And you know what helps a lot, Joe, is the offensive line giving him time, right? And they've done a really good job here. There were times where he had to scramble, no doubt. I don't know if you guys looked at the numbers. Obviously, you probably know they had 0 sacks. Do you know how many quarterback pressures, quarterback hurries Jags were credited with?
That was it. It was one.
One.
I was surprised to see this morning, Sal, from Next Gen Stats, that Spencer Brown is the only lineman in the league that has not allowed a pressure yet. And like he's just one of the five. But I'm seeing other teams in the AFC, including Jacksonville, that are constantly having trouble protecting their quarterbacks. And how many plays last night was Allen just in the pocket, able to stand back there for like 5 seconds?
Yeah, for sure. And you know, it's pick your poison again. Josh, if you're going to blitz him, he can kill you with that. And that's the other thing about this offense. Like, if you're going to blitz the Bills, they have a lot of guys who just become available very quickly because they are just really designed to be those types of players. Just get a couple yards, just grab it. Josh can hit you, no doubt. And if you're going to sit back there, look how many times he just waited. And then obviously look at the Dalton Kincaid touchdown. That was one of them. On the tackles on Spencer Brown, we did late last night We did an Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast, so people can go listen to that or watch it, Matt Bove and I. But Matt, he made a great observation and said he just thinks both these tackles, Spencer Brown and Deion Dawkins, are playing at an incredibly high level right now. When you have that happening, I mean, that's a really great recipe.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline. To the defense, Sal, there's a funny highlight going around of Trevor Lawrence spinning around with really no one near him. And it's indicative, I think, of what happened yesterday. This defense that the Bills had put together, even down a few of their most important players, the system is the system. And when they play a quarterback, they had him seeing ghosts. They had the Jacksonville Jaguars all out of sorts. And it's another stellar performance from the secondary, from the defensive line, up and down. Sean McDermott has himself another great defense.
I mean, so impressive, right? What they're able to do by plugging these guys in. And Bobby Babich, as a first-time defensive coordinator and play caller, just dialing up pressures at the exact right time. I mean, to get Jamarcus Ingram involved on that sack, right? I mean, how great was that? Cam Lewis and Jamarcus Ingram coming together, Jamarcus getting the sack. First ever interception for DeMar Hamlin. And I'll just take a second to tell you guys how emotional it was in that stadium when he got that interception because, you know, and DeMar actually acknowledged, too, the fact of the irony of it being on a Monday night, right? Because of what happened with him in Cincinnati was on a Monday night, and then he gets his first interception on a Monday night. And I'm going to tell you, when he had the interception, he goes back 19 yards. He comes back towards the Bills sideline, and guys behind the bench, all of the fans on that side were doing the heart sign with their hands. And it was so emotional. It reminded me a lot of the kick return from Nyheim Hines afterwards, right? And it was just so cool to see and to have that moment and to see that moment with DeMar and his teammates down there. That was great. And how about DeMar Hamlin here still sitting here as the starting safety on a team that's one of the best defenses in the league after all the things that we all said about, oh, my God, you know, that could be a liability. Mm-hmm. And but here's what I said the last week or so. This new wave of defense, that's DeMar's game. Like, that's what he does. It's keep everything in front of you. You don't have to go be a hero back there. Just be solid, steady, and physical when you have to be, and that's his game. And then Javon Solomon gets his first career NFL sack. Joe Andreessen plays in his first career real NFL game, gets time in. He actually records a couple of different tackles. Von Miller looks really good, guys. Mm-hmm. Von Miller, he was getting pressure all night. He wound up getting that sack. I'll just say, I think that Christian Benford may be the most not acknowledged great, great cornerback in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
He just does his job every week.
I wanted to ask you about him, Sal, because I think that is still probably true. I think I wonder if his number does that a little bit, where
47.
Where, like, if you're just a casual NFL fan,
change
you see
your
a 47,
number.
Right, you might not think that guy is, like, a star.
Let's get you in the 20s.
Yeah,
you know?
And you see, like, six-round pick also, right? Like, it can sometimes take years to escape that status. I think it's starting to flip around a little bit, but it's not all the way yet. But I feel like Sal... Some in the league, Dan Orlovsky was talking about this on the broadcast last night. There are those on Twitter, too, that it maybe is just starting for Benford, that he's starting to get some recognition as maybe like a number one corner in the league. I mean, some of his pass deflection numbers and separation prevented, whatever it is, you just watch him on the field. He's making plays on the ball. I'm more and more thinking about him as like, this might be just a number one corner in the league and six-round pick, the number, whatever. Like, that all's extra.
Yeah, speaking of the pod we did last night, it's a good point you just brought up because Matt asked me, is he the Bills' number one corner? And I don't even know if I can answer that yes, because Rasul Douglas is really good. And if the Bills had to have a guy shadow somebody, would it be Benford? Would it be Douglas? It could be either of them. I just think they have both two very, very, very good boundary corners right now. And they're both playing at a really high level. So I think it's probably not fair to even Rasul Douglas to say that about Christian Benford, but you're right, Joe. I mean, you could count them as that. They're both just playing so well right now, and it really is kind of the perfect combination of how they want to play defense on the back end to keep everything in front, but two corners who just don't allow you much when you want to, you know, get with that underneath or that intermediate stuff. And then you sprinkle in a Jamarcus Ingram. You know, Jamarcus, he's a boundary corner. Here he is getting thrown into a dime safety role. And I mean, this is scary to think about. I asked him after the game in the locker room. I said, "What's the transition like been like for you? You had to kind of get thrown into that role. It's been new for you." And he goes, "Yeah, I'm still learning it. Really, like every week it's something new." And I'm thinking, "Geez, he's playing it at such a great level, and he's still learning it." It just goes to show you the preparation that goes into that. Even a guy like Brandon Codrington, who just this kid's electric. The New York Jets are going to regret trading this kid to the Buffalo Bills. Now, I get that the Jets have Gibson, who's a very good returner, so I understand that part of it. But my gosh, this kid. He takes the ball. He is electric. And then he gets in on defense and makes a couple of plays too, right? So right now, it's just everybody. Talk about everybody eats on offense. Everybody's eating on defense too right now, guys.
Quickly before we get to call sale, because we've done offense, defense, and special teams a little bit here. McDermott was the one who he talked about Coleman after and why he didn't really play in the first quarter or even in the second quarter.
Yeah. Well, he played in the second quarter. I think his early on in the second quarter is when he got his touchdown or midway, yeah. But it went one of those drives. So first quarter, he sat for the entire first quarter because he was not on time for something. We don't exactly know what that was. McDermott did not want to get into those details. Okay. But Sean said, hey, Keon handled it very well. And, you know, they had a good conversation about it or, you know, whatever. I'm paraphrasing what he said exactly. But he said he was impressed with the way Keon handled it and responded, and they move forward, and that's that.
Okay. All right. Let's get a couple calls in before the break. Chris in Lancaster. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. Great Buffalo win last night. Very impressed. Actually thought it might be a close game. I was very wrong. One thing I want to get off my chest right away is the way Sean McDermott, he's changed in not only the way he manages a game, but his personality has come out a little bit. I think one of the things that Josh Allen was he got lucky being drafted by the Buffalo Bills because of the other three quarterbacks that were up for discussion. Baker, Rosen, and Lamar went later.
Darnold.
And Darnold, thank you. Well, those three, Darnold and Rosen went to two terrible organizations at a really bad time. And the Bills were, starting over. Sean came in and said, you know, we're going to be a family. This team is a family now. You could see, you know, offensive guys intermixing with defensive guys, giving fist bumps. Whereas, you know, Baker and Rosen were chosen by teams that were just, you know, in misery. And yeah. A lot can change. You know, that changed Josh's life by being drafted by the Bills. They had just come off a playoff spot. I was a Tyrod fan, but thank God we drafted Josh Allen because he's the best damn player in the league right now.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, situation matters. And, I mean, what the Bills have done is a masterclass in picking the right guy and bringing him along the right way and giving him room to make mistakes along the way. I think that's an undersold part of it. Every time they put on the screen, Allen leads the league in turnovers since he came in, the Bills have given him the freedom to make those mistakes. And he has, well, I mean, this year he's off to a great start in that department. And I say that as someone who's not even that worried about that kind of stuff.
So two things to this. You know, the Bills under this regime, Brandon Bean running the front office, they've drafted traits, right? We know that, right? Think about all the guys with the traits they've drafted. It's the guys that are just freak athletes, and Greg Rousseau and Spencer Brown and even Tommy Doyle. So like just these guys, like they love these traits. Not everybody, right? But they really like the traits. And that was Josh Allen. Josh Allen was the traits. They identified a guy. You know why? They want the ceiling. The Bills shot for the ceiling. They shot for the moon at the quarterback. They said, we're going to swing hard, and we're going to hit a home run, or we're going to strike out, but we're going to go down swinging, or we're going to have the best player in the league, or debatably, right? And that's what they have now. They have an MVP type of player. They have one of the best on the planet, and that's what they did. But of course, and I agree with the caller, and we've all said it. I used to say all the time, guys, if Josh Allen gets drafted by the Jets and Sam Darnold gets drafted by the Bills, Sam Darnold's probably a pretty good NFL player. Maybe he's doing now in Buffalo what he's doing now in Minnesota. And I think Josh does not become nearly the player he is now if he gets drafted by the Jets. Organization matters. Look at the debate that's going on about the Carolina Panthers right now and Bryce Young. You have all these different talking heads debating. Is it Bryce Young or is it the organization? Of course organization matters. The Bills' player development. Is there any doubt now? Can we just stop with, like, it makes me just cringe when people talk about Brandon Bean and draft picks. And dude, it's not just like, yeah, you're not going to hit on every pick. It's also about developing players. It's about getting them into your organization, into your building, into your system. And when you have the continuity of a front office and a head coach that they can draft for now and the future to develop, that's when you get guys like Cam Lewis and Jamarcus Ingram and Christian Benford. And, oh, yeah, a Josh Allen that comes along the way where you could put him into an organization where they care about the development of the player and not just saying, okay, we got this guy and he's going to be pretty good. Go out there and play.
Yeah, it speaks to me, it speaks to a lot of things, Sal, but identity. They know, especially in defense. Yeah. They don't change on defense. They know exactly the traits that will work for them, how things will go, and they continue to get results. Let's get the injury report. The Barnes injury report brought to you by the Barnes firm. Car crash for help. Call 1-800-8-MILLION. Sal, how the Bills come out from an injury standpoint?
You know, guys, I think they were really good. There were only two things that I had on the sidelines last night, and one was Cam Lewis, who got checked after he was hit on the sidelines. I think the independent neurologist had him come into the tent because he's got the red hat, and then he went back in the game. So, you know, there wasn't even anything official, but I saw that happen. And then at the end of the game, Tylon Grable went in the tent. I did not get an official injury update on him. It was too late in the game. But that's just something to monitor. That's why, in case you're wondering, Spencer Brown was playing very late into the game. He was playing because Tylon Grable had come out of the game at right tackle after they put some substitutes in. Guys, other than that, I mean, I think the Bills came out pretty clean health-wise. And that's just such an added bonus to this win.
Quickly, Sal, did you notice several times Allen handing the ball off with the wrong hand on purpose? Like he would be handing the ball off with his right hand to his right side, and it would look awkward. I don't know if you noticed that, but I had not noticed that against the Dolphins, and I was wondering maybe if his hand bothered him, but I don't know if that even came up after the game or whatever.
We've been talking about this since he hurt his hand on the broadcast with Eric, and one thing he's been doing is handing off with two hands. I did not notice if he took his left hand off. If you're saying that, yeah. I did not see that, Joe, if that's the case. But he had been handing off with two hands going that way. And that's obviously, I think, to protect the left hand, to make sure there's nothing that happens that comes out of it. I mean, I didn't do this, but you could make a joke and say Josh Allen is out here literally beating teams with one hand. I mean, that's what he's doing, guys. He's beating teams with one hand, right? Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. And obviously it's bothering him in some capacity still, guys, because he's got the glove on it. He's got it taped up. Even before this, in the Miami game, when he would go to his right, he would hand off with two hands. Eric mentioned the two hands last night. I did not see him just take the left hand off at all, so we'll see. The other, by the way, injury update I do want to give you guys, two things I think we should note here. Number one, the Bills did not put Terrell Bernard on injured reserve. That's very important because that means they're optimistic, I would say, that he's going to miss less than the four required weeks to go on injured reserve. Number two, Matt Milano in the house last night on the sidelines standing with his team. He was with Terrell Bernard standing there next to each other all night, and that was great to see.
All right. Sal Capaccio. Thanks, Sal.
You got it, guys.
Chris Brown, when we get back, the Buffalo Bills victory Tuesday, we are having a good time. What a time to be alive. Where'd you rather be than right here, right now? Like, they're doing it again. Like, we're in for another ride this season. They look incredible. Jeremy and Joe, happy Tuesday. Happy Victory Tuesday on WGR.
Back to pass. Blitz is coming. Gets away from it. No! He's wrapped up and sacked. Jamarcus Ingram on the corner blitz. Takes the handoff to Cook. Pressure coming. Fires down the right side, looking for Coleman. He's got it, and he's into the end zone. The rookie with his first touchdown as a pro. It goes 24 yards for the score.
One of the plays of the game, Chris Brown joining us on the Western Hotline. Highlights of the game brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. Train for what's next. Chris's appearance on WGR brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and by Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. Chris, I said it to Sal. It was a party. You were right there in the center of it. Another one of these primetime games where the Bills show up, show out, and they put on a show, really, is what they did against Jacksonville.
Yeah, I think the only thing we were missing were a couple of spotlights and a disco ball. It was pretty crazy. I was trying to protect myself, and I know you can relate to this. You know, we saw what had gone wonky in the last two games against the Jaguars. A lot of us still have scar tissue from, you know, disappointing performances when you're expecting the opposite. And Bills fans do this. We protect ourselves and say, oh, well, you know, let's just get out of this game with a win. And it was utter domination from the beginning and right to the very end, even when the second teamers were playing in the fourth quarter. They're still turning turnovers on downs. So, you can absolutely be encouraged as a Bills fan. What lies ahead, obviously, is a much stiffer schedule over these next 3 weeks, and I'm sure we'll get to that in just a second here. And while I want to heap as much credit as possible on the Bills, their coaching staff, I always try to take it with a grain of salt and not get. I don't let myself get too excited anymore. I just can't do it. I can't do that to myself anymore. So I'm super excited about what happened. I'm really excited about what Joe Brady has done with this offense. I think Bobby Babich has put the defense on lockdown, but I want to see it against some of the better teams in the AFC before I let myself get too excited.
Yeah, let's start with the offense and Joe Brady. For me, Chris, what this all kind of looks like is that they've found an identity to this offense and that the yards after catch that they had been after for multiple seasons and employing two tight ends and using the middle of the field, like it has all started to come together. And after, you know, a year or a little bit of time where Josh Allen and the offense looked like everything was really hard. That's all we would say. Like the offense is still good, but things look hard. We have entered a period here where the offense is good and it looks like it's easy for the quarterback. Like this match right now looks as good as I could imagine it looking.
Right. And this early in the season too is also encouraging because I think we all were trying to prepare ourselves for the timing in the passing game to take some time to gain some traction and play consistently. But it's looked pretty darn good here through the first three games. And I will say this, again, not trying to take any credit away from the Bills. You can't blame them for this. For some reason, Jacksonville's defensive coordinator, Ryan Nielsen, is an ardent believer in man coverage. And even when it wasn't working, he continued to call it. So in many ways, Jacksonville's defense played right into the hands of what Buffalo's offense does best. But we were even saying it in the pregame last night. Let's get some definitive proof that the Bills receiving corps can get separation when facing man coverage. And they made it look easy last night.
Yeah, that's a good thought too, Chris, on like when the Bills were up in that game in the first half, they're up by 20, they're up by 30, and they're still out there throwing it, and it can look like, oh, well, they're going for the kill. And to your point, they might have just been saying, well, if you're not going to come out of this look, why would we stop passing it, basically?
Yeah, and that's how Joe Brady operates as a play caller. He does that in the run game as well. I mean, go back to the Dallas game last year. Until you prove you can stop it, I'm just going to keep running it. It's common sense. And it's really refreshing to see a coordinator just go with common sense and not be married to a script or a game plan. Oh, this is working uncommonly well. Let's keep doing that. I mean, it sounds simple, but sometimes I think coordinators in this league, with all the time that they put into the plan during the week, they're convinced. They almost convince themselves this is the way to go. And I think Joe Brady's open-mindedness to just pivot into something that's working is really, really smart.
Chris, what was it like in the moment and in the stadium when Hamlin had his interception?
You could tell immediately that it was a different kind of reaction to the play. Now, I had to get through the play call, which lasted pretty long because DeMar ran to the opposite side of the field to try to gain yardage on the interception return. But then you look down in the stands, and people went right back to what they did in the New England game the week after, you know, the incident in Cincinnati on Monday night. Fans just reflexively started making the heart sign with their two hands, you know, thumbs together and curling their fingers, you know, for the top of the heart, just flashing that towards the Bills bench and the field. So it wasn't your run-of-the-mill interception. It was different.
Chris Brown joining us on the Western Hotline as we chat about the Bills' win. You know, you mentioned these next three games, three road games, three tough opponents who are also, we're going to hear a lot of the same, like, desperate team about Baltimore, too, right? They got off to a rough start. The Bills go into Baltimore. It's another test for this defense, but Sean McDermott against Lamar Jackson, like, so far we've had good results on that. So it's a good opportunity. Baltimore, Houston, and the Jets, these are three teams I think that still have seasons very much to play for and high expectations. So the first 3 weeks, Chris, went about as good as you could possibly ask for, and the next three will be a good test.
Yeah, they certainly will. Prime time in two of those three, with, you know, this week's game being Sunday night, and then the Jets Monday night, MetLife Stadium revisited. So that will be a charged atmosphere for sure. I think the thing to for the Bills to try to keep in mind here is to just keep on keeping on with what they've done here. I was encouraged that last night, because I talked to Bobby Babbage in the pregame interview, and he said the one thing they wanted to improve on was third down, and they did that. You know, 2 of 13 were the conversions for Jacksonville, and offense wanted to improve their third down conversion rate, and they did that as well to the tune of 54.5%. And I think those two things are very important going forward here. Your offense has to stay on the field, and your defense has to get off. And to see them improve in that area last night after the first 2 weeks not being up to the standard that they hold for themselves is certainly encouraging going forward, because that is the money down, and you need that if you're going to beat some of the better teams in your conference, which is what they're going to be facing over these next 3 weeks.
You got a quick thought, Chris, on the Jaguars and where they stand this morning after last night? It feels like the coach could be
I thought they looked lost. I mean, that game got away from them fast.
Yeah, and just talking to a bunch of the national NFL analysts, you know, on One Bills Live this past week, they say that is unquestionably what is missing from that team. They do not have an identity on offense or defense, and they have a leadership problem in the locker room. I mean, Josh Hines Allen is a captain, Trevor Lawrence is a captain, but to me, I and I'm not going to pretend to intimately know that team, they just don't feel like they carry themselves in a leadership capacity where other players want to follow them and jump on board and say, yeah, I'm with this guy. That is a troubling thing in the ultimate team sport of football. And they are lost because they don't have that player-driven leadership. And again, you know, you look at Sean McDermott and the culture he has built here and the player-driven leadership and the young leaders that they build from the bottom of the roster, so they're ready to take the place of older players when they age out, like we saw this offseason. There is no leadership problem here. It is a major problem in Jacksonville, and they are a lost franchise right now. And also, by the way, on the hook for $55 million a year for the next 5 years with that quarterback.
Chris Brown. Thanks, Chris.
Take care, guys.
Next up, Sunday night. We'll talk to Chris on Friday. You know, we talk on Fridays and Mondays. We're about to get back into the Sunday schedule, which is good. Sundays.
Yes,
Thursday, Monday, Sunday. It's going to be another primetime game against Baltimore.
They play a Monday against the Jets, though.
That's true.
In a couple
another
weeks.
Another Monday nighter. But
then I think that's it.
I don't think that's a doubleheader. The Monday night football's got a doubleheader again next week.
Maybe Manningcast will be back for that one.
Maybe. 803-0550. When we get back, you want to play a fun little game?
Okay, you got a game. Maybe we can save what I've got. At some point today, I've got to. Have you seen the all 22 of the fourth down pass to Shakir?
No.
It is the funniest.
Oh, Is this the
I can't believe how funny it is. It's funny to me, at least.
Is it funny because the guy that's covering him runs literally 70 yards in the wrong direction?
He's sprinting in the other direction, like, and he never realizes.
Right. It's like he stopped watching. He's like, okay, he's going in motion. So good. I got to go across. And then he looks, and the next thing you know, he's on the other side of the field.
Yes. All right, that was it. All right, so game when we come back, though.
That guy, Madden, go ahead and drop that guy's defensive awareness rating down a couple of points because he did not follow Shakir.
Yep.
No, when we get back, a phrase we've used a lot that we stopped, and it's got to come back.
This could have easily been a game where we had 10 days off and let up on the gas. Didn't sense that from our guys. A lot of urgency throughout the week.
Josh Allen, that slice of audio brought to you by Picasso's Pizza, your game day tailgating headquarters. We'll go around the league quickly. That's what I'll get to with my tease from the segment before. Around the league brought to you by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. What's the phrase we have not routinely used in, you know, maybe about a year, that's about to come back? Ready?
Train. Something with a train.
No. Ready?
That wouldn't have been a year. Go ahead.
The one seed.
Oh. Hello.
Time to...
Yeah.
We didn't talk about it at all this offseason. It was like, hey, the one seed has re-entered the chat.
Let me just dust off these one seed takes over here.
That's right.
Real quick.
The one seed has entered the chat. Open segment, open hour for you. It's Victory Tuesday. You can give us a call. We'd love to have you part of the show. Jeremy and Joe, Bills Football Tuesday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.